Parshas Bamidbar.
The ideas that you will hear today have been expressed recently by Rav Moshe Shapiro, whose name people will be hearing more and more. He has been known for a very long time, but it seems that his fame is on the rise, and he is today holds probably the position of the great Baal Machshava, the great philosopher explaining fundamental ideas in Torah. And what we are here to talk about is, to think about, is the emphasis in our history and in our life cycle of counting. Bamidbar is the opening parsha of the Sefer, and it begins with the counting of Bnei Yisrael, but not for the first time. Bnei Yisrael have been counted many times already. And Rashi makes a point of telling us that although they were just counted after the tragedy of the Egel, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu counted them to see the survivors, he again, a few months later, counts them. Don't forget the Egel was on Shavasar B'Tammuz. Remember that, the 17th of Tammuz. And now we're right after the Hakamas HaMishkan, which was Nisan. We're in Iyar, the second month. And Be'echad L'Chodesh HaSheni, the first of the second month. So a year hasn't even passed, and they're counted again. And Rashi explains that they are counted specifically because this is a show, a demonstration of love that Hashem is displaying for the Jewish people, that He is about now to begin the era of Asharas HaShechina, where the Shechina will dwell on humanity, and human beings will live, coexist with the spiritual, the Shechina, right with them, amongst them. And He is showing, this is a display of Hashem's love for the people that are capable of receiving the Shechina. And these are the words of Rashi, Mitoch Chibasan Lefanav, because of the love that they position they hold before God, which is one of great love. Mona osam kolsha, he's constantly counting them. Every hour he's counting them. Kishiyatsu mimitzrayim minon, when they left Egypt, he counted them, and that's Shemos Perek Yud Beis. Kishanaflu be'egel, and then after the egel he counted them, that's Shemos Lamed Beis. To know how many, Rashi says, are left over. Ukeshabala hashros shechina so aleihem, when he came to allow his shechina to dwell on them, he counted them again. And we see, and it explains that's what's happening now. So we see Hashem is constantly counting the Jewish people. We also have to think about the fact that we count. We count to Kabbalah Satorah. We count till we can receive the shechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We count till Shabbos, Hayom Echad v'Shabbos, Hayom Yom Sheni v'Shabbos. Women count 7 days. There is an emphasis on counting, and hopefully we can come to understand what is at the core of this. Now, we know, Rashi has just established, that counting is a display of love. But there's more than that aspect to counting. When a person is loved so that they are constantly like a gem taken out and looked at and watched and put back and taken again and counted again. When a person is, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu displays to a person, to humanity, that he loves them, to Klal Yisrael, it also means that he is willing and ready and desirous that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hoping to bestow His goodness upon them. He's hoping to give them, in this case, Shechina, to dwell upon them. He's hoping to be able to release, as we have spoken about, the schar, that word schar, the goodness, the tov, which is synonymous with schar. Simple word, tov. You know, we use it all the time. Lo tov, you know, this is... But in Torah thought, tov is a very important word. It represents the absolute tov, which is the ultimate reward. Torah itself is called Tov. It represents pure, absolute, untouched goodness. It's really not just a mundane word used for everything that might be a little pleasing or a little appealing. So we know that when Hashem is showing love, it also means that Hashem is hoping to shower Tov, goodness, bracha, kindness on humanity. It is a sense of the giving of Tov. But the halacha also tells us that once something is counted, okay, something is that which is in a minyan, which is counted individually, and is set aside as an individual object, never later is it able to be bottled. In other words, let's say you count out something chashav like barrels of wine, and you have 100 barrels of wine, and because they're chashav, they're counted individually, and one of them is from Shemitah, and it gets mixed up in the other 99, they're all forbidden. That barrel is never bottle. If something is counted and designated and set aside as an individual important object in and of itself, it can never then just blend into a general mass. It is always standing on its own. So counting not only is an indication of love and a desire to shower tov, goodness, that Hashem is, you know, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the Bnei Yisrael, it also indicates when Hashem counts Bnei Yisrael that each Jewish person counted by name is seen individually by God, is evaluated individually, is Hashem has particular expectations from that person. They have a tafkid, which is from the word pekidim, the code to count, gives each person a tafkid. And that person is never bottled. That person never is just one of many blending into the, you know, cycle of life, like all the flies and all the dogs and all the plants, like Eastern type of thing. Each person is an individual with their feelings and their hopes, their talents, their ability to understand, their brain. They are never bottled. Which means, another word way to say this is, that each person is chashuv. That each person is important. Another way to say this is that each person has kavod. Each person has kavod, is given a singular respect from HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that person's uniqueness. They are given respect. Now, today we speak often about the idea that people are lacking in self-esteem and this, and how important it is to build up a person's self-esteem. It is not a weakness or a flaw for a person to crave respect. Self-respect, kavod. The nefesh itself is called kavod. Ura kavodi. Awake my kavod. Kavod is a basic ingredient like air and food for humanity. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts each individual person, he is bestowing kavod on each person, which is necessary. As he's given them physical life, he gives kavod to every person. So what we're dealing with here are two concepts. Counting from love is a desire to bestow tov, goodness. It is also a desire to elevate the person with a sense of kavod. Two catchwords, tov and kavod. Now when HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts the Jewish people here, preparing them, elevating them in both of these ways, because it's the time of the Shechina dwelling in the Mishkan, it's the great moment in history, it's a perfect utopian type of existence. The Jewish people in that close of a connection with their Creator, seeing the presence of the God through open miracles daily in the Mishkan, having the Shechina down here in this world, which is something we speak about. But experiencing this in real life, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, in a sense, expressing the idea through this counting that the world is in order. There is Tov and there is Kavod. The world is in order. And that brings us to the idea that the very creation of this whole world is expressed through these two same concepts. Everything is created for kavod, and everything is created for tov. Everything is created to honor, ultimately to give honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is kavod, and everything is created for Hashem, ultimately to bestow tov upon those that come to honor, to give kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a process. We give kavod to Hashem. Hashem bestows the ultimate goodness on the people. It's a cause and effect. So, for example, there's a famous quote, and we're probably familiar with it from Pirkei Avos, quoting from Yeshayahu: "Kol ma shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'olamo Lo boro ela lechvodo. Everything that Hashem has made in this world has a singular purpose, which is that it is some way will be elevated, can be elevated, to give honor to the Creator. Every physical thing that's made of matter here can ultimately, even space, even time, we do that too, be sanctified and elevated and used as a means of giving kavod to the Creator. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up a world in order that we should use all of it to give kavod to the Creator, to honor the Creator? Because the real purpose of the world, as we've spoken about, is that Hashem will bestow, will release all the tov, the schar, that He has stored up for us. This comes from Tehillim, and the famous idea you've all heard, Ki amarti olam chesed yibaneh. The world is created for chesed. The ultimate chesed is the bestowal of tov. Now, we've spoken about the schar type of concept. We've spoken about it last week. What is schar? We talked about the idea that schar is not in this world. Schar ultimately is an experience of huge satisfaction, which we cannot imagine here, bliss, perfection, that exists after a person has worked here to create a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and show honor. We're adding honor, everything that Hashem honors, honor everything that the Torah considers honorable, build into their way of thinking that they esteem things that are worthy of esteem, that we don't honor things that are not worthy of honor and show kavod to things that are of no value or of limited value, but that we have a perspective in the world, our perspective of the world is that we are understanding what true kavod is, and we use everything as a means of showing kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then there is a reward, a schar, which is the satisfaction of our closeness in that tshuva process, which we have spoken about when the neshama passes through the kever and returns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and is reunited. This is the ultimate tov, the ultimate schar. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates this world as a way to ultimately bestow tov on humanity. And in the process of that, everything is used towards the kavod of Hashem. So we have now a perspective from two different directions. Hashem bestows kavod on the Jewish people, elevates each one individually with respect and dignity, that they are never, like the halacha says, batal anymore. No one is ever batal. Everyone stands out individually. And He shows the chiba, the love that He does so much tov and spiritual revelation and truth and understanding that the person will achieve a certain bliss in seeing the meaning, the harmony in it all, the ultimate goodness of it all. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to reach out in that direction towards the Jewish people, and we understand that our obligation is to honor, to bring kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and ultimately to receive, that Hashem will bestow the tov. So we know, for example, we say Hayom Lasosam, today it is for doing, Machar, but in the future Lekabel Schar. Just like in the future we can't do anymore to show kavod to Hashem, in this world we can receive the schar. It's very segregated. It's a process. So now we begin to think about our counting. This is the counting of Hashem of the Jewish people at the time of the indwelling of the Shekhinah, right now, bestowing kavod and bestowing tov. But now we begin our counting towards matan, towards Kabbalah Satorah, our receiving the Torah. We count 49 days. We know that the 49 days are divided into two sections. Lag BaOmer kind of separates them. There's the first 32 days and the last 17 days. A simple gematria of 32 equals... The 32 days, 32 days, the gematria of kavod is 32. And the gematria of tov is 17. So the Maharal explains that as we count towards Kabbalah Satorah, we understand that as we leave Mitzrayim in the process of receiving the Torah, coming towards it, we count each day. And the avoda of the process of counting is to develop within ourselves an appreciation and esteem for all the things that the Torah considers honorable, the lifestyle, the behaviors, the way of thinking, to honor the lifestyle that the Torah will set out for us, to develop a great kavod and honor for the Torah that we're about to receive, knowing at the same time that this transforms itself. The kavod we bestow upon the Torah transforms itself into the tov, that's the last 17, that we receive in the acceptance of the Torah. Only a person that is capable of honoring the mitzvos will enjoy the pleasure of the mitzvos. You know, unfortunately, there was many after the war that expressed the idea, it's hard to be a Yid, right? Shver Zayin a Yid. And my grandfather, Schwab, used to say, yeah, it's hard to be a Yid when you don't want to be a Yid. And it's hard. But the point is that a person only appreciates the pleasure of the experience of the mitzvah if they've already elevated it in their mind to a place of esteem and a place of kavod. For example, there are those that cannot bear and tolerate Shabbos. It's too boring, it's too long, it's too tedious. They're going jumping out of their skin. People who are not necessarily familiar with it. Those who keep Shabbos and derive huge satisfaction from all the gifts of Shabbos could never think like that. The tov that we experience is a direct continuation of the kavod that we give to the mitzvah. And you can't transfer it to another person. It's experiential. It's not something you can explain to another person. It's something that comes. It's an automatic. So on the one hand, the sphere is 49 days. The kavod transforms into the tov. Does this remind you of what we spoke about in Pesach time? Where the very same matzah, which at the Seder was lechem oni and represented our tzaras and our affliction and the difficulties of Golus, at Chatzos, the moment of Giloy Shechina, when Makos Bechoros took place, transforms into Tzafun, the Afikomen. Tzafun is that which is hidden for the future, the reward. It's no accident that we have a minhag that the children hide it and they get a schar, a reward for giving it back. Tzafun is the concept that there is a reward hidden in the future. But that very same matzah transforms into the schar at Chatzos. It's tzafun, it's afikomen, it's the dessert. And the sweet taste of that stays with us. We don't eat afterwards, right? It is, in and of itself, the sweetest taste. The taste of the mitzvah, of the kavod we give to the mitzvah, to Torah, is the sweetest taste of all because it allows us to experience the goodness and the tov that is part and parcel of it. So as we count towards Kabbalah Satorah, we're counting days of kavod, us developing great honor and kavod and committing, knowing we're about to commit to accept the Torah in its totality and give honor to the Torah, thereby giving honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the purpose of our creation. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu bestows upon us, the last 17 days represent this, the tov, the goodness, the appreciation, even in this world, a certain amount of satisfaction that we're living a Torah life, but it's all reserved in a real way for the next world. The whole, that famous statement of the Jewish people, that exclamation, Naseh v'nishma, is an expression of kavod and tov. Nasa, we will do, means we honor our creators to the degree that we accept everything. We are machnia, we are mevatel, we are nullifying ourselves. We accept whatever he will teach us, whatever he will expect from us. That is a sense of kavod. That is an expression of great honor to come before, so to speak, a king and say, I'm at your service because of honor. Nishma, we will hear it, means we will come to understand, which gives us satisfaction. We're all curious. Nobody likes to do what they don't know what they're doing and why they're doing it. There's great satisfaction and fulfillment in knowing the purpose and the meaning and the value of what we're doing and seeing how it plays into everything else and makes sense and gives us a sense of not only satisfaction, but thankfulness that we can do this. So that is the nishma aspect. We are first bestowing great honor on HaKadosh Baruch Hu by being Mekabel Torah, and then Hashem will allow us to hear and to understand, and sometimes it comes later, not as we are involved in it so much, and understand and have perspective on everything we've done and the value of it, the eternal importance of it, the long-term benefit of it that goes on indefinitely, forever, eternally. That's nishma. So we are counting towards a Kabbalah Satorah, recognizing in ourselves, and we still have days to count. We're not done with the Omer, that we are working on two intellectual, spiritual achievements, which is to bestow honor on God by honoring the commandments and the Torah and the mitzvot and those that live a Torah life and those that try hard to do the right thing according to the Torah life. And not everyone can achieve as much and as quickly, and everyone has different circumstances, but to honor only what the Torah finds honorable, and therefore, and to elevate it in our minds and give it a sense of a great high position, a sense of value, and to understand that the more we value it, the more the tov hidden in it is revealed and befalls us and changes us. Now there's something else that is also called kavod and also called tov, two other things. This is an ongoing theme that, thank goodness, has been revealed, you know, has been expressed and explained. We call counting is for the purpose of kavod and bestowing tov, but Hashem himself is called tov. We say this every single day in davening, after the Yishtabach, the brachas preceding Shema, Kel Baruch Gadol Deya Heichin Upal Zarei Chama. He prepared and formed the lights. Tov Yatzar Kavod Lishmo. What do those words mean? Tov Yatzar Kavod Lishmo. Tov is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he created all to give kavod to his name. Hashem is known as Tov, the bestower of ultimate Tov, and he created in order that there should be kavod attributed back to the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you even see that this theme of Hashem himself counting to show Tov and desire to do good, to give schar and kavod, Hashem himself the purpose of the world, and of course you would expect to find that the Torah is called kavod and the Torah is called tov, because it is the tool to achieve both of these things. So you have, for example, ki lekach tov nasati lachem torasi al tazovu. Don't abandon my Torah. It is what you have that is ultimately tov. It can allow you to access tov. Never let go of it. We also have in Pirkei Avos, ein kavod ela Torah, ein tov ela Torah. So we have the kavod and Torah attached. Kavod and tov attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the creation of the world. Tov, the Torah itself is called kavod and Torah. And we count 32 days of kavod and 17 days of tov to receiving the Torah. There's one other thing that is also called both kavod, and we mentioned it before, and called tov. This nefesh of a person, the human being. Look, we say Yisrael, the Oraisa, the Kodesh Abrichu, one who, the Torah and God and the Jewish people are one. And so these same themes apply to each. The nefesh of a person is also called kavod, as we said, ura kavodi. But the Vilna Gaon points out, again, one of the secrets of the Torah, that in atbash, you know atbash, if you take code language, so to speak, the aleph is the tough, the base is the shin. You take the first letter to the last letter and you work out the whole alphabet, the whole aleph base like that. Nefesh in atbash is tov. The Vilna Gaon sees this and explains that only the nefesh of a person, and we're not talking about the animal, you know, soul, because sometimes the nefesh is referred to as just the physical apparatus that lives, but the human nefesh, the human life, the human being, specifically, the Jewish people have taken on the chosen role of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. are the ones capable of giving kavod. Only human beings can give kavod to God and can receive tov. It isn't bestowed on any other of the creation. And as much as a person elevates themselves and their nefesh, they can give great honor and can achieve and can receive tov. It is probably possible that according to a person's ability to honor God and honor the mitzvot, they experience a degree of the tov. Whereas those that can do it more, harei zeh meshubach, it's very praiseworthy, they experience it more, which has probably helped us understand why, although we are so upset and frustrated and agitated when we see tzaddik v'ralo, usually the tzaddikim are not as agitated as we are about their experience. Because somehow the more a person can give kavod and can appreciate the kavod of the melech, right? Therefore they experience a tov that they can perhaps experience despite difficulties that we don't, that we can't understand how that works, you know? The physical pain that doesn't distract from them feeling a great sense of tov in the world, a great sense of bliss in the world, a great sense of bliss for their connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there are stories of Tanoim that were learning Torah and they didn't realize that they had cut their hand halfway off and they were bleeding and they didn't feel it. You know, you hear, but these are examples of people somehow that are sometimes able to transcend because of their distraction by something much greater, even perhaps physical pain. There is a power that people are able, there are those that have, that can be so attached to a certain pleasure, as even a spiritual pleasure, that physical pain perhaps doesn't affect them as much. And so we see that the Torah is called kavod and tov, and the nefesh is both kavod and tov, and the nefesh of a person develops, and what they achieve and experience is commensurate with their sense of how much they are giving kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, we count not only Sfira, working our way towards Kabbalah Torah, we count every single week towards Shabbos. Now, Midoraisa, there are two mitzvos of Shabbos. We have Shamar and Zachor. We have to make Kiddush and not transgress the 39 Malachas. But Midrabanan, there are two other mitzvos of Shabbos. And what are they? Midrabanan. Kavod Shabbos and Oneg Shabbos. It's exactly the same ideas. I'm going to read from the Rambam here in Hilchos Shabbos. We have a responsibility to conduct ourselves to honor the Shabbos, and in return we are given the freedom and the license and the go-ahead, really, the gift of being expected, being encouraged to enjoy the Shabbos with food, special clothing, tanuk, which is reminiscent. It is reminding us of the schar that is hidden in the future world. We know Shabbos has a special oneg where we eat the sudas and we make sure to prepare more plentiful, more delicious, better foods. This is just a glimpse, the 60th, right? A tiny little taste of Olam Haba, which is considered a time of enjoyment, a time of arrival, not the process anymore, but the end, not the path anymore, but the destination. So on Shabbos, we give kavod to Shabbos, primarily, by the way, preparing Erev Shabbos, shows kavod to Shabbos. And then tanug is on Shabbos, the enjoyment, the physical enjoyment, which is a mechanism, a key, a way to really having a sense of the future tanug. So here's what the Rambam says. I'll just read you a few examples. There are two mitzvahs midoraisa of Shabbos, Shamar and Zohar. Zohar Shamar, he says, and Navi, and then the Rabbanim have in two mitzvahs, which are Kavod and Oneg. The Karasa LeShabbos Oneg is one source, LeKadosh Hashem Mechubad is the other one. So Ezu, Kavod, what is Kavod Shabbos? First of all, a person has to wash themselves prior to Shabbos. His hands, his feet, Yadav, Panav, Raglav, if that's the most they can do, his face. The Erev Shabbos, Mipnei Kavod. Then a person has to get dressed, prepare themselves to accept Shabbos early. And I actually, my great, great righteous, the great tzaddik from Mordechai Schwab used to be prepared by already early in the afternoon for Shabbos. And when you would meet him, he would say, a good Erev Shabbos. It was already, he was anticipating The Kabbalah HaShabbos, which is exactly what Rambam says, you should wait and prepare to be Mekabel Pnei Shabbos, like you're waiting to greet a king. And he brings down the Rambam that the early Chachamim would gather their Talmidim. You've always heard about this in Tzfat. They would go out to the hills and say, let us go greet Shabbos Malkasa, Shabbos Kala, let's go greet to King Shabbos, the Kala Shabbos. Both represent, by the way, Tanug and Kavod. The king is Kavod, and the Kala represents Tanug, the wife. And this is how they would prepare. Also, clean a person before Shabbos cleans their clothing. Do not to wear weekday clothing. And not to eat Erev Shabbos, a Suda, after like already Mincha time, to keep an appetite for Shabbos, that they can be Kovei a Suda with appetite on Shabbos. Prepare the table, set the table before Shabbos. All of this is kavod, to show the great honor we give. And the Chachamim would go ahead, and the tradition was that even very wealthy people who had many servants would do physical actions, do work to prepare for Shabbos, either cut the wood or light all the candles around the house or bring the water. All of these instructions are, as you can see, preparations that we make in order to honor Shabbos. That's kavod. That all falls in the category of kavod Shabbos. Ezu oneg. So what is oneg Shabbos? Which is, again, a sense of appreciating the reward that is awaiting us. That is that a person has to cook for themselves better food, as much as they can afford, more food. Not to, by the way, he says, not to eventually take tzedakah just to have more food or better food. However, he says, even if someone is supported by tzedakah, they must eat 3 sudas a day. And did not, and his Rambam says, be very careful not to disregard one of the sudas. And this indicates a tanug, because we think about, and this is very mystical, and goes into already the future, the 3 different levels of schar that a person achieves, and consider each of them of significance. And it says also to make sure that a person is koveya these 3 sudas on, he says, on wine and challah, and he says to drink wine, eat meat, which is a form of oneg, unless a person gets sick from them. And he explains how they used to do it, what the day of Shabbos was like in the past. He says they would come, kachaya minhag tzadikim arishonim. This was the minhag of the early tzadikim. They davened shachris and musaf in the base knesses. They came to their house and made a suda, the second suda, I guess, after the night before. Then they went to the base medrash to learn and to daven, to learn and to review until mincha. They davened mincha, and afterwards they came home and they made a 3rd suda on yayin and bread, and they ate until Motzei Shabbos, which of course seems they daven mar, which is not so different than how it is done, thank goodness, by us today. And so that aspect of Shabbos is called oneg, and there's another aspect of Shabbos which is called oneg, which is not just eating, but sleeping. Shena b'Shabbos tanug, sleeping on Shabbos is a tanug. Normally we say that sleeping is a 60th of death. And so there's a little sense of trepidation when we sleep, we understand. But Shabbos, it's pure tanug, because Shabbos is already me'ein olam haba, which is beyond that experience of life and death. It's already part of the world of schar. And so there's much more of a sense of pure relaxation or comfort on Shabbos. And even our sleep takes on a different quality, that we can sleep with more peace of mind on Shabbos, because it's a sleep of arrival at your destination. It's not the sleep of exhaustion or preparing for to have energy for the next activity, but it's a sleep of achieving the ends. The process is over, and this is the end, and it's pure relaxation. It's tanug. So we see that on Shabbos we have the same pattern. We give kavod, we receive the tanug. Now we mention that there's another counting reserved for women. And also expresses, Rav Moshe Shapiro didn't say this, but it also expresses these 2 same ideas. Women instituted this counting. This is a chumrah that the women initiated. This was not mehalacha. And it's quite interesting, just an aside, that some like to argue, as we've heard many times, that the patriarchal rabbis who did things for their own, on their own behalf, and manipulated the law, so to speak, so things would work out according to how they like it. Well, this example of the women instituting the Shiva Nikiyam, the seven clean days of counting after the halachic period of the Nida is over, is a proof that they really had very little power to do what they wanted. They were compelled by the fact that the women took on this chumrah, which was not in their best interest, okay, or not what they would have opted for, you can imagine. And they had to officially, you know, canonize this into law almost. It became minhag yisrael, you know, dinhu, and because the women initiated this counting. And people are curious as to why they initiated the extra days and the counting. You know that it is important to be conscious and to say today is the first day of the Shiva Nikiyam and today is the second day. So the counting is probably very much in line with what we've been speaking about. And here we get to an idea which is very appropriate for Shavuos and mystical in nature. We know that what we're counting for towards is a reunion with the husband, the coming back together after the separation. And there's no question that it is a demonstration of kavod, honor for the spouse, the husband, to count 1 day, 2 days, 3 days with anticipation. It shows great honor and a great kavod for the one that we're waiting for. It also is an anticipation of the tov, the good, the tanug, the pleasure that is at the end of the process. This whole male-female separation, coming together, we've spoken about this idea, but to remind ourselves before Shavuos, is all part of a grand mashal, a very grand mashal that we play out regularly, but that all of history is playing out. We go back to the creation story. In the creation story, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a single entity, which was both male and female. You've heard this 1,000 times. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Lo tov heyos adam levado, it's no good for this creation to be singular and unique. Rashi says it will think it's God, it's so perfect. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a tardema befall this creature, this Adam. And in this process, in this condition of tardema, deep sleep, he separates the two halves. One becomes male, remains strictly male, and one is female. One is Ish and one is Isha. Two parts that were once a whole, and now they must reunite and through difficult, hard work, come back together and come back to how they were, which was originally automatic. Now they must, through hard work, re-achieve that original connection. In any case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu separates them during the pirud, during a tardema. And this separation in Hebrew is called a pirud. Now, the only reason Hashem separates them is to allow them now on their own to reunite. And the first thing Hashem does is brings the Isha back to the Ish. The Torah never tells you that they woke up from this tardema. Rav Moshe Shapira explains in another place that this is a grand mashal. All of history is explained with this mashal, what the ebb and flow. Originally, there was, and in the ideal state, there was a complete union of all ruchnius, all that existed in the world, so to speak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ruchnistic, a world that pre-existed this world. And then Hashem spun off, you might say, this physical, the gashmius. And that separation of the gashmius from the ruchnius is considered like a dark, cloudy, complicated situation where the gashmius now doesn't always know, because it's night and it's dark and our dreams are not clear. At night we dream, but we don't see clear messages. We don't get clear images necessarily. It's confusing. It's a tardema. It's a deep, hazy sleep, not an alert, awake knowledge. And in that time, the gashmius sees itself separated from the ruchnius, and it thinks that it's totally separated, that there is no connection anymore. The Isha that was spun off in this tardema becomes the female. Now some would argue that there are basic distinctions between men and women, emotional, psychological, intellectual. It's all true. It may be true. Maybe it's cultural. Maybe it's natural. Maybe it's inborn. It's all up for argumentation. But one thing is for sure, and that is that biologically they're different. And the woman became the nekeva, the female, and the quality of the nekeva is she is mekabel. She receives in the act that joins them, and he is what is called the mashpia, the giver. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the mashpia, the giver, and humanity, mankind, the gashmiyus world, including not only man, but all of this world that depends on rain, the gashmiyus world is the receiver. Mankind, too, is the receiver, the isha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated the gashmius from the ruchnius. Now, why did Hashem make this period? Almanas lahachzer, to bring them back together. But the coming back together now is not automatic. It becomes the job and the hard work of humanity, of the nekeva, of the gashmius, to come back to the ruchnius. Now, in as long as they are separated and they are not reunited, that is called a state of tardema, a deep sleep, which we would also call hester panim, where Hashem's presence is not clear, like it's not obvious that there's an achdus, a oneness between physical man and spiritual creator, physical power and spiritual power. There doesn't seem to be a connection. We think God is over there doing his thing up in the heavens with the malachim, and we're here with preparing our dinner, and there's no connection, or a little bit here and there. But that is called hester panim. That is the gullus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu built it into the system that there will be periods in history, or built in purposefully, that there will be a pirud, a darkness, a hester panim, where the gashmias and the ruchnias will be feel very far from each other. However, all the while, it is now the job of humanity to reconnect. When humanity, in the form of the Jewish people, because no one else took this responsibility upon themselves, accepted the understanding started by Avraham. They developed into a nation. We understood that there's only one job, which is to reunite with the Mashpia, the one, the giver of all the bracha, the giver, the sustainer. There's only one way to reunite, and that is to allow ourselves to be makabil, to receive. That's how, if the man and woman come back together in the human mashal, the woman allows herself to receive. This is why we call it Kabbalas HaTorah. We understood that we have to be Mekabel Torah, that we are the receivers and Hashem is the giver, and receiving what Hashem is giving us will bring us back together and reunite us, and then we will be as we were before the separation, before the deep sleep. We will be awake, we will understand everything. It's a world of clarity, it's not night, it's not dark, it's not Hester Panim. We have jumped back to the time before the Tardema, before the separation. And that is why we understand that what happened at Har Sinai, Kabbalah Satorah, was the awakening. That's when we woke up. That's when humanity awoke from the Tardema. When they were makabel the Torah by saying, Naseh, V'nishma, that we will accept everything because of the great kavod, and nishma, we will receive in return a great understanding and satisfaction and schar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Klal Yisrael, what happened at Sinai? Ata horesa ladas, you were shown it, your eyes were opened, you saw, that's when your eyes were opened. And you got das, you got knowledge that Hashem is the only one in heavens above and the earth below. You understood that there's a yichud, a union between the gashmius and the ruchnius, and right here in Parshas Bamidbar, where the Shekhinah comes down into this world, in the Midbar, in the Mishkan, there's a union between ruchnius and gashmius. It's before the pirud, it's before the deep sleep, the tardema, it's before the forced separation, it's when there's a reunion. It's no coincidence that if Kabbalah Satorah and understanding that the gashmius and the ruchnius can be reunited is called das, ata horesa ladas, that's knowledge. When a man and woman comes together, according to Torah, it's called Adam Yada Eschava. It's a mashal. There are phases. There's the together phase, the forced separation and darkness and Hester Panim and difficult phase of not knowing and not feeling connected. Then there's the reunion phase, which is the awakening, the pre-Tardema, which is called knowledge, Das. And so when we are preparing for Shavuos, we're also recognizing that as a woman, as women, we go through this. This is a mashal. This is an example of the sense of separation and then counting towards that. Because we have great kavod in the nimshal, great kavod for our Kadosh Baruch Hu and the Torah that is bestowed upon us. We count towards it, and we receive the coming, the reunion with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, as is the human mashal, is an experience of great bliss and an experience that they all speak about as, you know, and everyone's always trying to achieve, but it has deep spiritual, profound implications. That there, it's no accident that that experience is considered of great, you know, of the greatest sense of enjoyment and euphoria, etc., because it represents the reunion of the Ruchnius and the Gashmius. And so too, we count also Kavod and for Tov. So here we are as we stand before Shavuos. We have a little bit more time. If we haven't focused so much on counting towards Shavuos till now, and we're women, we're not chayiv in the same way, so sometimes we forget. Case in point, the second day, finished. With the bracha, over. It was over right away. But still, we can count without a bracha. The ideas of counting, of developing kavod, and understanding that in return we receive tov, they permeate so much of our machshava, so many ways, and we hope we keep them in mind, and it brings us, carries us along in its energy to achieve some of the, feel some of the tov that Hashem has in store that is waiting for us to experience. I wish everyone a wonderful week. So we'll be here, Mirtz Hashem, next week.